you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac, a stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are back in Bears week. The Bears are getting ready for a game, and Mark Grody is ready for you.
Hey, Groves.
What's up, Lawrence?
The Bears are back.
Yeah?
Yes.
Tell us, Groats. The Bears are back. Coach is there. Players are there. Vibes. How are the vibes after a good weekend for the NFC North?
I'll tell you what I like seeing as I walked from the parking lot to the building to Hallis Hall, where we get to do the interviews with some players and coaches from whom you will hear. I did see on field one right in front of Hallis Hall, Bears players out there going through what is, it turned out, just a light workout, maybe even more of a walkthrough. So the players are here, getting the kinks out, getting loosened up. This is not a practice in earnest that starts on Wednesday. And then Matt Eberflus told us that Tyreek Stevenson and long snapper Scott Daly were both out there during this light walkthrough style practice, which may portend well for those guys. As far as Jaquan Brisker is concerned, he was not out there. We were told that a couple more steps of concussion protocol before they can say that he is ready. And then Kyler Gordon, all Matt Eberflus would say is that he is working through a hamstring injury. So as far as Brisker is concerned, guys, I mean, I'll start right there because I do feel pretty good about Tyreek Stevenson and even Scott Daly, the long snapper, if he is to be the Bears' long snapper, that, you know, with Brisker is good to go. But Brisker, I should say, I'm a little concerned because if he has a couple more steps to go, I don't know what those steps are. I don't know what hurdles he's already passed, but I do know that he has a history of concussions. So I don't know if that bodes well for him this week, but we'll find some of that stuff out on Wednesday.
Okay. The trade deadline is coming up. What are we hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if for people who are just catching up on what went down over the weekend, maybe you weren't as locked in because the Bears were off. There was a report from Ian Rappaport on NFL Network that the Bears were listening to potential trade offers for their offensive lineman, Nate Davis. Khalil Herbert's name came up, but I was most interested in Nate Davis. Left the question on here for you for full context, and you'll get to hear how Matt Eberflus answers the question.
Matt, there's been some trade talk generated by NFL Network centering on Nate Davis. Is there anything you can confirm about that, and are you guys listening to potential offers for Nate Davis?
Yeah, I would just say this, that, you know, of course, you know, during this time when you're leading up to the trade deadline, you're always going to have guys that are in conversation for those trade talks. And I'm not going to talk about particular players or players that we're looking at potentially, but that's always going to be the case. It's part of the business. You know, it's an NFL player. You know that. And it's just part of that time that we're in right now.
Is Bates close to being able to open to come back to practice?
Yeah. Yeah. We got some good report on him today. He is close. We'll see where it is as we go forward, but we'll see if he's in our plans here coming up.
Yeah, they got to make a decision when Ryan Bates is back. We're worried about the mini fridge, Doug Kramer, and his roster viability. We need him to be in there so we can do the stickers.
That was more than I was expecting Matt Eberflus to say to Groats' question.
On Bates or on Davis?
On Davis.
Well, Davis, he's trying to play it general, but says players, and says that they're listening and they're asking as well. What else did you get from it?
Just the fact that he would even, instead of deflecting that and being like, you know, that's up to Ryan. Like, that's usually something gets kicked upstairs. Even him being like, yeah, well, you know, this is that time of year where your names get bandied about and stuff. I'm a little surprised by that. And it further lets me know how they feel about Nate Davis.
Yeah, you know, the talk is all the Nate Davis stuff has seemingly left the door open for that. They've gone out of their way to not disparage him. What did you guys talk about amongst yourselves in this topic, Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's number one. I mean, I kind of went off. I think it was on your show talking about how Matt Eberflus referred to him as a professional, which I was incensed with just from what we've seen. He's been the antithesis, it feels like, of a professional. But now I get it a little bit more, and maybe I should have gotten it then, that, yeah, this is not a guy who, even if he's not on the roster in the next month or so, he's certainly not a guy that they want on the field anymore. They benched him, and he is now the backup to the backup. So one way or the other, it does feel like, and I can't confirm this at this moment, that they're done with Nate Davis, that he is just not part of the future of this Bears team. So a lot of what they've been saying to us and not saying to us makes sense. And yeah, that's what stood out to me about Matt Eberflus. While he certainly was, you know, giving the generalizations of, hey, this is everybody's got to be ready for this at this time of the year, he certainly did not go out of his way to deny it, nor to protect the player in terms of saying that he's a part of our future. And I'll say too about Ryan Bates, and we don't know at this point, with very vague answers on Ryan Bates today in terms of when he might return, and maybe we get more on that on Wednesday or maybe even today. We'll find out. I'll keep my phone on. But Ryan Bates, I'd be shocked if he doesn't go right in at right guard. That would be my best guess. I think that you keep Coleman Shelton in at center. I'd also like to, and I wonder if this is one of those cases, guys, where you ask your quarterback, you bring in Caleb Williams into the conversation, say, you comfortable with Coleman Shelton as your center, or do we need to make a change there? And let's face it, if we are to give credit to the Bears' offense thriving really in the last two games, then you have to say that there's a pretty good connection between center and quarterback. So I don't think you move that, but you know, and these other guys have done fine. We've seen Bill Murray come into the game. Matt Pryor has been good at times, but they have just invested too much in, and Ryan Poles likes Ryan Bates too much for me to think that he will not play a part on this team eventually. A
lot of potentially moving parts on the offensive line. We'll be following along. The news came out earlier today that Jaden Daniels is week to week, according to Commanders coach Dan Quinn, but that was after you guys talked to the Fluce about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and specifically Spiegs, because the Bears talked to Jaden Daniels at the Combine, which is like they talk to everybody out there. That is not a unique thing. Of course, they've got the first pick, so they're going to get a chance. It was always Caleb, but they talked to Jaden Daniels, and Fluce was asked, what do you think of him now as opposed to what you guys scouted of him at LSU or even ASU, if you'd like?
Yeah, I see that the offenses are different from, you know, his college offense to the pro offense, for sure. You know, there's more reading for him in the run game than he had in college, it looked like to me. But again, they just really do a good job of enhancing and looking at his skill set, which is throwing the ball down the field. He does that really well. And, you know, he's been able to get some really good chunk plays. Their whole offense has during the course of these first games.
You guys were high on and set on Caleb very early on. Did you also have Jaden Daniels marked down as this guy is clearly headed somewhere?
Yeah, no question. I mean, he is a talent, a big talent, and as you can see that the first part of the game, he's got a real good future ahead of him. You can certainly see how he reads the field, how he sees, his vision, his anticipation, his accuracy, his ability to escape when he needs to, his ability to do the QB runs if they ask him to do that. Athleticism, and he's a big talent.
Yeah, you can tell that Fluce has been very involved with all the draft prep. As he talked about wide receivers and Brian Thomas before the Jags game, it's like Fluce went deep on all of the draft stuff along with Poles.
Gross, do you think that there's any way possible that Dan Quinn tells us that Jaden Daniels is starting before Sunday? Because I don't. I don't think he's going to mess with this.
Not only do I think that the gamesmanship part is part of this, absolutely, Lawrence, but I'm skeptical on whether or not he's going to be healthy enough to play. And I know the report that it's not a serious injury, but we all know how tricky these rib injuries are. And I know it's not like, you know, Tevin Jenkins when he has a rib injury and he's got to be mashing with guys on every single play. But this is your franchise quarterback. You're not even halfway through the season. And I understand it would really ruin the storyline, but I mean, I don't know that they want to necessarily take a chance on putting that guy out there against this Bears defense, which is really good and one of the better defenses that they will have seen up to this point. So, yeah, I mean, either way, whether gamesmanship or just not playing, yeah, I don't think we find this out until Sunday.
Yeah, because it just also strikes you, too. The thing that you don't think about is, if you have a rib injury, it becomes difficult to sleep.
Yes.
Like, there's all sorts of stuff that you don't think about, like more than just, well, just shoot them up with Toradol and send them out there. Like, you want to make sure that you're going to be okay. And maybe the Bears get lucky and they get Marcus Mariota, who's still a professional quarterback, but he's not what this guy has been.
He's a backup quarterback. And Mariota was
a solid backup.
And he was good. He was good this past week. But the fact is, he's a backup quarterback. Backups in the NFL, we've seen it. We've seen every single backup quarterback ever go through Halas Hall. Eventually, as good as they might be as backups, Tyson Bagent, they get exposed, Daniel.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like, it happens.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Bears defense hasn't given up more than 21 points in 12 games. And Marcus Mariota is not going to send a shiver down my spine. But he is a professional quarterback. We'll definitely give him that.
He's not going to embarrass himself, but the Bears will be in really good shape if it's Mariota, trust me.
give us more from the Floos there,
yeah.
Grodz.
I love this from the Floos. He was asked about coaches rising through the ranks. You know, the more successful Matt Eberflus becomes, the more successful his assistants are going to become. Shane Waldron and Eric Washington and some of the assistants may go on to bigger and better things. And Matt Eberflus himself has gone through the ranks to get to where he is. And he gave a very Matt Eberflus answer to it. Check it out.
From your experience, what was that process like for you, going from position coach to like having people empower you along the way in those steps so you could get to where you are now?
Yeah, I always say this to the players and the coaches, that if you want more responsibility, fill your bucket up and make it overfill, and then do the job with detail. And then guess what? You get another bucket, and then you get to fill that up and do the same thing. And then guess what? If you're good enough, you'll get another bucket. So just keep filling the bucket up, keep doing the job. Keep having the players that play under you, play at a very high level, and then things will happen. But don't go looking for it. Just keep filling buckets up, and you'll be okay.
Buckets?
Oh, hell yeah.
I like the way he says bucket.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Yes. Bozo Buck, bring out that Schwinn. Bozo Buckets.
Hey, man, there's a reason why the F word is like the world's number one curse. It's just so satisfying to say, like loading up all that air before you say it and then blank it, like bucket. I mean, like the CK.
Bucket.
It's powerful. It feels really good to hear Matt Eberflus say bucket.
This is why Matt Eberflus is a genuine guy, because sometimes he puts that stuff out there about his players and the hits principle and filling the buckets. He uses his own principles on himself. He has his own set of buckets. So this man is the real deal. He is genuine, and he's right. And he's right about all of it. And he's a good place in his coaching life.
Buckets.
Bears. Bears.
Bozo had buckets, Trent Dilfer had buckets, and Matt Eberflus has buckets.
Everybody's got buckets. All right, now to Cole Kmet, because I've got three Cole Kmet cuts, and we'll try to get through them as quickly as possible for the sake of time here on the radio. But this answer from Cole Kmet, this is my favorite answer to a question all year. Cole Kmet on why, because the Bears are 4-2. We've seen the Bears be 4-2 before and just completely fall apart. Why, Cole Kmet, is this sustainable?
I mean, for me, it's just hard not to say the quarterback. Like, the quarterback looks really good, and he's super talented and can do a lot of really good things with his legs and with his arm. And I think the things that he does in the pocket as a rookie is really impressive. And I think those are the things that you look at that you can rely on week to week, whether that's the intermediate or short passing game. And I think Caleb's done a really good job with that. So, it's just hard for me not to say the quarterback. You know, there's a lot of other elements to it as well, like obviously protecting and doing all those things. But I think Caleb just got a knack for playmaking and making plays happen.
Oh, hell yes, Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. The truth is the truth, man. That the quarterback is making all aspects look a lot better. And when those other aspects are decent or sometimes very good, then the whole team can look really, really good. That's good stuff.
I mean, we've been waiting forever to hear about a team. And, you know, I'm trying to keep it all in perspective. Six games, but we have waited forever to hear anybody ever say the Bears are good because of their quarterback. And that's what, he didn't have to say that. Nobody led him into the question with anything about Caleb Williams. And that's what Cole Kmet said. So I just thought that that was amazing. Next cut from Cole Kmet here. I had asked Matt Eberflus in his press conference about the NFC North and how, yeah, it's cool that the NFC North is good, but it also kind of sucks that the NFC North is so good because the Bears are seemingly good right now. There's no weak link in the division, and those are the teams that you have to play. Matt Eberflus's answer was kind of like, we're worried about ourselves. That's the right thing for the coach to say. But then my colleague and yours, Chris Emma, took a crack at a similar question with Cole Kmet on the NFC North.
As competitors, do you like that when you see the division and it's stacked up like that? It's so tight and, you know, all four teams with winning records right now?
Yeah, I don't know if I love that, but it definitely makes – those are the games you want to play in. So I'm sure here, you know, if we keep going and the rest of the division keeps doing what they've been doing, a lot of those games are going to get probably flexed to primetime as we get going here and as playoffs kind of start to shape up. And I know as a player, like, those are the games I want to play in. You know, I'm sick of playing at noon all the time, and I like playing in those primetime slots. Like, that's where everyone's watching. And
CBS takes your game now for 325, and you got Romo, and it's kind of – it's the main game in the afternoon. Does that fire you guys up?
Yeah.
Or is that different?
I mean, that fires me up. I know – I mean, the guys that I was around, you know, early in my career, whether it was, like, Jimmy or Akeem or Khalil, like, they always talked about the primetime games. Like, that's where everyone's watching you, and there's no reason to shy away from that.
Look at Cole Kmet, like, actually, like, learning from vets. Like, we always talk about that type of stuff, but it's clear that he was paying attention to what those guys had to say.
Yeah, man, and they feel it like, hell, when you're opening a bill, if you're a stand-up comic and you're going first or you're going second, you know, you want that headlining hit, and they know it. That's it's really interesting. They're after they get done with these two road games of Commanders and Cardinals, the Patriots are a noon game, the Packers are a noon game, and the Vikings are a noon game. Already they've been flexed with the Commanders. Bears, Packers, November 17th. Is that going to stay a noon game, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Bears,
doubtful.
Bears, Vikings on the 24th. Going to stay a noon game, you think, folks?
Player, please. I don't see it coming. I see a flex on the way. I think Kmet is going to have his wish on some of these games. And in reality, it's funny too, because from covering, Lawrence, you know this from being in these locker rooms. Actually, the players love the noon games because it's just normal. And then you've got the rest of your night, but I understand what Kmet is saying, that you want the shine, you want the 3 o'clock game, you want the evening game, because that means you're good.
It means you're good and that things are moving in the right direction. Like your team and having players on your team that win awards.
How about that, man? Cole Kmet, because we haven't talked to him since he was awarded with the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, because he had to go in a pinch in London to be the long snapper. And so we asked him what he thought about all that.
Yeah, I think there might be some pretty pissed off long snappers throughout the league, but yeah, I'll take it. So pretty cool, and obviously a cool award to get regardless, and, you know, just kind of makes that day a little more memorable, I guess.
Have you spoken to any pissed off long snappers in your own locker room?
There was a few in the locker room, yeah. So, they're all happy for me about it, and it's definitely a unique deal, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's something too that I'll just add to it really quick. Speak.
Please.
He actually did film breakdown of him being like, we asked him, did you have to like review? Oh yeah, he's like, yeah, he said I graded out pretty well as a long snapper, but he had to watch the film and go through it all just like everybody else.
He didn't snap for punts.
He did not snap for punts.
Short snaps only.
Part of why, Lawrence, I never, ever want to see Cole Kmet as the Bears' long snapper again, nor does Cole Kmet ever want to be. This was fun. This was novel. We're having fun with it, but never, never again.
Yeah, he had Jake McQuaid, the former Lions long snapper, was on the practice squad, and Scott Daly, that's two. Pat Manley would be the third long snapper.
He went through some of the film with Patrick.
Yeah.
Hey, don't sleep on Pat Scales, too. Man, don't forget about Pat Scales.
Oh, that's right. He's there, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's there, too.
Oh,
man.
So there's three? That's right.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
They got a bunch of long snappers that are mad at him.
There's a few.
Exactly. Yeah. There's three long snappers coming at Colt Komet for winning an award.
And that's amazing. Then there's and the Gunners.
Yep, and then there's Shane Waldron, who just has long snapper energy for some reason to me, but he's not a long snapper.
What's long snapper energy?
I'll tell you off the air. You got TJ Edwards stuff?
Yeah, I do. You know me. I'm always wondering, are the Bears a top five defense? And I think I talked with you guys about this last time I was on. And TJ Edwards, one of those guys who set the bar at that in the preseason. So I just asked him, let's get an update. Have you guys reached top five status defensively yet, TJ?
I mean, I feel like we've played well, right? Done some really good things, you know, on all facets of the game. But I think for us, you know, we know that we can be a lot better. It's a group that's not complacent with anything that we do. And that starts with, you know, Coach Washington and those things. But I think, you know, we know, and we kind of looked at some things today, just kind of reflecting on, you know, the first couple parts of the season and what we did well, what we know we can clean up.
What specifically, if you can share with us?
Yeah. Better. I mean, specifics, you know, it's kind of, we'll keep that in house, but I think just in general, you know, giving up some big plays, I think at times and, you know, getting teams behind the sticks in a way is something that we're looking at too. So, you know, I think from top to bottom, we know there's just a couple things that each group can do better, including myself. So we're excited to get things going.
Sixth in yards, fourth in points, third in takeaways, and in terms of turnover differential, fourth, tied for fourth in turnover differential. But sacks is where they're not. Top five, and he said getting teams behind the sticks.
Croats,
yep.
We're back. We're Bears. Back, baby.
Bears.
We're
Bears.
Back. Bears. It's football week. There's going to be football play this Sunday. We're all back.
My misery of there being no Bears this game this past weekend is over.
It's
the
over.
Bears are back.
Yes. Now you're back. Bears. Croats,
see you guys.
Appreciate you. That is Mark Grody, our Bears beat reporter, who does a phenomenal job covering this team in all sorts of ways.
Things to follow along the week. The possible moving parts on the offensive line. The health of Jaquan Brisker with two more steps to go through on concussion protocol. And Kyler Gordon, some clarity on the hamstring. And I agree that we'll probably not get any clarity on whether Jaden Daniels is going to play at least until Friday, maybe not even until Sunday.
Would you like to learn more about Detroit?
I would. And the great Dan Campbell is somebody to learn more about and everything else that's going on there.
Colton Pouncey will join us to talk about the Lions. He covers them for The Athletic. Don't go anywhere. He joins us next here on The Score.